I'm sitting here in the studio with Joshy Ross, who has, of course, been in our studio many, many, many times and been on our show many times. And when he rolled into our program a couple weeks back, or last week, there was a brother with him named Jonathan Thunder, and they both walked in and talked about this project they worked on, which was this great audio-visual production with graphics that is pretty powerful. And so now Joshy Ross and Jonathan Thunder are here in the studio. Good to see you both in the same place.
Always good to see you, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So before what we're going to do is, folks, this is a visual, so we're going to link to the visual piece you can watch, but we're also going to play the audio because it can stand alone as audio, but the real power is watching the audio and the visual together. The audio being written and created, of course, by Joshy Ross, and the visuals and the storyline visually and graphically being created by Jonathan Thunder. But let's just begin. Joshy, you set this up for us. So how did you all hook up, and what is the piece you all created before we let people hear it?
The piece is called Pataki. Pataki is a Blackfoot word. I'm a member of the Blackfeet Nation, Browning, Montana. And Pataki is a word. It's a name. Bita means eagle. Aki means woman. And it's one young woman's experience, as I think many Native people experience, history class and the invisibility of Native people in their schools, and just feeling that school is a battleground. And so that's what the story is about. It's a battleground, and it's a battle that's happening between two people, the teacher and the student, Pataki. And it's, you know, done audibly, and then also it's done beautifully with the visual touches from Jonathan.
And talk a bit about the story from your perspective. And then we'll talk about how you all hooked up, and then we'll listen to the pieces.
Yeah. Every year I enter a film festival in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And this year I sent down a film. I wasn't able to make it, but the film director is a mutual friend of me and Joshy. So she gave me a text and linked us up. So Joshy and I started to talk after that. He sent me the track, and I listened to it. And right away I thought, you know, this is something that I can identify with. The track was really done well. It was his voice, some music, and some singing in the hook to back it up. Really professional work. So we started talking about a direction to go with it, and he was going to let me go, which is when I work on an animation with somebody, if they just let me go on the animation, that's when I do the best. So I was super.
So they're hovering over you and saying, do this,
yeah,
do that. Right.
I've had those projects where they're kind of looking over my shoulder. Can you make it blue? Not that blue. The other blue. No, I like the blue that you just used. Can we go back to that? So, yeah, it was really good because I think, you know, we have
see,
both.
I'm an artist, not a technician.
Right, 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 right. We've had similar experiences, so it spoke to me right away, you know.
What do you mean you've had similar experiences?
With this educational, the topic was kind of Columbus and how it's taught in the system. That was sort of the vehicle, and how it's sort of glazed over and sugar-coated and stuff like that. And Pataki, the main character, kind of calls her teacher out.
This young woman.
On it. Yep, because she's done her homework. You know, she's gone outside the classroom and done some homework.
Before we hear this, a couple of things popped in my head. Well, one is I'm curious. I'd like to really take a step backward to your past for a moment. You grew up in Minnesota.
Yep.
Right, Jonathan? You grew up between Montana and Washington.
Yes.
Right? So talk a bit about, for our listeners, about the experience you just alluded to, about being kids, Indian kids in school situation around Columbus. Well, I think people don't have a real understanding of that nor a feel for that, and they need to,
mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Sorry.
I mean.
Sure, yeah, I can speak on my experience, and this is just my experience.
Yeah.
So I'm from the Red Lake Nation, Band of Ojibways in Minnesota, and I got a little bit of Seneca in me too. My mom's family has some Seneca blood, but I think going into the public school system, my dad took a role in saying, you know, like, here's what they're going to try to tell you, you know, and if you look at this right over here, you know, like, this is a little more information than they're going to give you. This is kind of the truth. So I went in, I remember as young as second grade, kind of being aware as to that I was in a school system where I felt a little bit left out. And
because you went to urban schools, you went to city schools.
Yeah,
right?
I went to a public school.
So all the kids went
in Minneapolis.
Indian school.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Maybe one of two Native families in the whole place, and immediately kind of just sort of. I guess I just sort of had to like be strong and move forward, and that was tough. So this story about Pataki, you know, we made some of the characters. Basically, all the other characters are non-Native. She's sort of sitting in there, and that's sort of based on my experience. You know, I'm not exactly sure if that's how Jossie visualized it when he wrote it, but that was my public school experience. And moving forward, I would take some of that advice from my pops, and it would get me in trouble in class a lot. You know, like I remember in the third grade not standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance and immediately taking some heat from my teacher, who would point out that I was Native American and embarrass me in front of the classroom, you know, like just say things that
when you were that young,
embarrassing to me. Third, wow. Fourth grade, yep. Pops went down and had a little confrontation with the teacher, and you know, that kind of set the tone for public school for me.
And Jossie, I mean, your school experience, unless I have it wrong, was mostly on the res in between two places, right? So was it urban as well?
It was both.
It was both.
So I had a little bit of compare and contrast, because the first, seven grades was very, very res. You know, it was very, yeah, everything was centered around us. And then when I moved to the city.
Was that Seattle or was that
it
Montana?
It was a bunch of places. You know, we had a transient family. You know, we moved around a lot. I think I counted. I think I went to 18 schools or something like that. You know, but when we moved to the, away from the Blackfeet Reservation, it was a compare and contrast. Oh, we really are that small of a population outside of the confines of here. We really are. I'm constantly, every single class that I'm in, the only Native student here. I later moved to the Suquamish Reservation, and there was a few more Native students, but it was still a predominantly white school. And by that time, you know, that was high school sensibilities, but the very, very vulnerable time, seventh, eighth, you know, grade, where you're kind of finding yourself, and you're, I can't speak for everybody. I don't know if there's empirical data to say this, but that time of your life sucks. Seventh, eighth, like, yeah. You know, puberty's happening. You're awkward. You know, your head's really big, and you're either too fat or too skinny, or you got acne or something. Like everything right. That you can feel is that's going to make you feel out of place is happening during that time, and. The last thing you need is to feel like you have to justify or explain who you are. And that's what it felt like, was there was a constant need to explain who you were, or alternatively, to not, and to just swallow these lies and swallow these misrepresentations of who you know you are, but I'm just going to be the good student. I'm just going to sit here and put my head down and act like I don't hear everything that's going on and just do my work. And it's a constant assault on your sensibilities, and honestly also on your intellect, because they're just telling you stuff that's wrong. Like, mm-hmm. You know, and so that's, you know, sort of the foreground for Pataki. I think what Jonathan said was, you know, I mean, is absolutely correct, you know, that, you know, there's, you have to make a decision, as Native people are constantly making decisions. And sometimes we don't even know we're making decisions, because we're confronted with constant, and hopefully this is changing. Hopefully this is changing in 2016, but constant assaults on your dignity through textbooks that say things that you know are just factually inaccurate. Well, the Arawaks worshiped the Europeans as gods. No, they didn't, because the ship crashed and they had to go rescue them. Gods don't need to be rescued. Like, but you know, unless you're, right. But you might not want to say that because you have acne and because you have a big head and because you're awkward seventh, eighth grader, ninth grader, and you don't necessarily want to bring attention to yourself. It's a painful thing. And, you know, those students that do, those are brave, brave students. I didn't always do that. I can't say that I always did that. Sometimes I just wanted to blend in. Sometimes I just wanted to not be noticed. And I commend all those students that do, and I think that they should, and hold these teachers accountable, and hold these textbooks accountable, and hold these schools accountable for the nonsense that they teach.
So before we hear this, and again, we're going to link, you can see it, we can give you the whole place to watch it, but we're also going to be linking to, on watchcloud.com, linking to the video at steinershow.org, and we're going to hear the audio here in a minute. But I want to describe some of the visuals you did on this thing, just for people before they're just going to listen to it here for the first time. I mean, one of the things that really struck me, and I only watched it once. I should have watched it more than once before we came back in the studio, but the, when you showed it to me as we left, was that you had this obviously brilliant young Native girl in the classroom. And the way you set it up to go through all these books and her and going through all these books that had to do with Native way of life, history, people's world struggles. I mean, that was a really interesting choice you made to have her, and picking out the names of all those books.
Yeah, that was, Pataki is a character who does her homework. So I wanted to put her in a library setting, you know, because I remember the students that spent time in the library or in the computer lab or whatever were the ones that they kind of had the edge. So I wanted to give her that edge. And then in choosing those books, I just kind of had fun with it. You know, I went with a lot of Native writers that I know. I looked up Jossie's page and put a couple of his books in the library. I don't know if he saw that yet.
I saw that.
Some of my friends from back in Minnesota and some of the Native lit that I read. And then I you know, the American history book has like blood splattered all over it. So there's some, you know, symbolism in there because I have a fine art background. So I was like, how do I interpret this?
No, I thought it was very powerfully done that way.
I'm just real quick, I want to make the plug for all of you folks who are listening. Jonathan's a little bit too modest. Thunder Fine Arts, go check it out. Because he has a whole plethora.
Thunder Fine Arts?
ThunderFineArts.com. He has a whole bunch of other animations and pieces that he's done. He's an amazing artist, and that's the reason why I sought him out stalker-like, like a psychopath looking for him because his art was so amazing. So go to Thunder Fine Arts, please, and check it out.
Well, we'll do more than that. We're going to link to it. So we make sure that we checked it out, and that we didn't have, we just all met. I mean, I met Jossie, but I just met Jonathan Thunder in the course of one of the shows we just finished producing on the air live, and Jonathan and they were together. So showed me the video, and I went, "Whoa, you guys are leaving town? We need to talk about this in the air right now." So I will check out the rest of your work.
Thank you.
Cool. Really want to do that. Looking forward to that. I thought it was very beautifully done. As we get ready to listen to this, and this is done so that, as you said, I think Jonathan described before we walked into the studio, that this can stand alone. The audio can stand alone, the visuals can stand alone, but together they make a much more powerful picture.
Amazing. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that was the goal. I mean, with what I knew Jonathan was going to come with, the fire that he was going to come with, I had to make something good. And you know, lots of love to my little sister, Kalina Lawrence, who did the vocals. She definitely dressed it up and is absolutely amazing. She's finishing up her degree right now, and she's a force to be reckoned with, Kalina Lawrence. Watch out for that name.
So let's hear a piece, Pataki.
Pataki.
Pataki, excuse me.
That's okay.
Pataki.
Yeah.
Pataki, which means in Blackfoot,
Eagle Woman.
So listen to this. We'll be back.
She told me that she wasn't looking for a fight. She was always an A student, her future quite bright. Never went to football games, no Friday night lights. Just a tidy little bedroom homework done by nightlight. Young Native woman told that college was the way. Stay in those books, young lady, boys will lead you astray. Didn't have to tell her twice, she wasn't looking for a fight. Wasn't looking for a fight.
She was so dutiful in class. She was considered the exception. The Native girl who would leave before a baby was conceived. The teachers, all the teachers, they smiled when she spoke. A's in all her classes, never touched fire, water, or smoke. They held her up so high, so many Native kids take school as a joke. And their families wonder why their lives are so grueling and broke. But not Pataki, she's different from the rest. Magnificent and heaven-sent, never caused any headaches or stress. We love them all dearly, of course, but she's different from the rest. We all have favorites, and she never caused any headaches or stress.
She told me that she wasn't looking for a fight. She was always an A student, her future quite bright. Never went to football games, no Friday night lights, just a tidy little bedroom homework done by nightlight. Young native woman told that college was the way. Stay in those books, young lady, boys will lead you astray. Didn't have to tell her twice, she wasn't looking for a fight. Wasn't looking for a fight.
One day in history class, while they studied Columbus's trip, she raised a hand meekly as she always did. Teacher quickly acknowledged it. But Docky, do you have something to add? She smiled and bit her lip. The teacher smiled back at her, ready to praise her classroom grit. All the teacher's eyes lit up when Docky spoke. Teacher relaxed his muscles a little bit. But Docky said, I have a question, teacher. Why do we read this shit? F your history book, the class looked up, startled at Badaki. She was usually so tame. Yes, it was her, they concluded, although they never heard her curse or exclaim. Her classmates later claimed they saw fire in her eyes. They could tell she was at her limit as she continued spitting flames. She said, I get it. He was kind of the first white guy here, but Leif Erikson already came. And my folks been here since forever, yet they don't get any acclaim. Everything this book says about him is lies. Christopher Columbus ain't even his real name. It's Cristoforo Colombo, teacher. The lies hurt my heart and brain. I'm stuck here learning nonsense by this deceitful book that frames. This guy is the hero and my folks is small hardships that he simply overcame. This book says most people thought the earth was flat, but that's a flat out lie. That's insane. Pythagoras been saying the earth was round. Aristotle later said the same. Natives knew earth was round like a pregnant belly. That's why Mother Earth's her name. Yet 2,000 years later, folks thought that it was flat, or so this stupid textbook claims. Luis de St. Angel and Gabriel Sanchez paid for his trip, not the king and queen of Spain. This book says natives died from epidemics from this Columbian exchange. That's true, but it sounds like that's the only way natives died. It doesn't mention the pain when the Spaniards cut the natives' ears and noses off, or the men and women that he enslaved. It does not mention the girls he sold as young as 9 or 10. This is from his own journal, teacher. Sold the young girls to his own men, like Michel Duquesneau, who wrote about the rape he committed on a girl Columbus gave him. I don't understand it. It just escapes me. Why you have us reading this? We're supposed to be here to learn, but the only thing I learn is that I should be concerned for all the kids whose parents haven't taught them that they have to discern, because their school lies to them. These history books should be burned. F your history books, teacher. I found I'm good at studying lies, but I can't do it anymore. Each time a part of me dies, and I don't want to die. I don't want to die. F your history books, teacher. I don't want to die.
She told me that she wasn't looking for a fight.
So, folks, that was what you just heard was the piece that was put together by the two men in the studio now, Pataki.
Pataki, that's right.
We're here with Joshi Ross, who is a writer. And a lawyer, and lives between two Native nations, and speaks around the country. His part in this project, Jonathan Thunder, and you can find his work. And I was doing his work, by the way, folks. You need to just check out the website. It's thunderfineart.com. His animations and paintings are just mind-blowing. I haven't had a chance to look at them all, because we really literally just met while they're in town, and I just can't wait to kind of play with this stuff he's put online. It's really powerful stuff that I cannot wait to really get into deep. I think that this is – there's something brewing and exploding, it seems to me.
Yes.
Across all of Native country – and it's happening in the Black world too, but across all of Native country where the power of resistance through the arts is really taking hold.
It's amazing. This is something we've been talking about at schools the past few days, and we'll do it again tomorrow, is that we're all storytellers. And some of the most masterful storytellers in the world are, first of all, Native people are the best storytellers in the world, because we have an unbroken, and that's indigenous people around the world, not just natives to this country, but indigenous people around the world, the best storytellers in the world. The reason why is because we never stopped. This continues to be our predominant form of communication.
Even though they tried to beat it out of people.
That's right.
And, and put people in schools to take the Indian out of Indians.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like that.
It's not going to happen.
It didn't happen.
It's not going to happen. And so what we're doing now is utilizing this ancestral knowledge, this indigenous ability to tell stories, to literally change our place in history. So right now we're seeing certain storylines change. You know, 2008, there was a huge story that was told that had been mistold for a long time. That's that a black person can't be president. And in fact, it was such a prevalent story that there were satires and farces made about the notion of a black president. Chris Rock, just a few years before Barack Obama was elected, he told a story called Head of State, and it was a funny movie. It was a hilarious movie, but it was about how silly it is to, you know, contemplate a black president. We're retelling these stories. No, there can be a woman president. There can be a black president. Native people can take control of our homelands and have governance where we can kick out powerful pipelines like it's going on in North Dakota right now, Standing Rock. They're retelling a story. And that storytelling is being initiated by young folks, just like the Black Lives Matter story is being initiated by young folks. Young folks are seizing these opportunities to retell stories through different mediums, whether that's through writing, whether that's through hip hop, whether that's through animation like Jonathan Thunder. And there's an absolute powerful confluence between storytelling and art and the revolution and rethinking of certain assumptions that we're seeing right now.
We want to add to that, Jonathan. I mean, because your work is part of that. I mean, you are taking things and kind of telling a different story, or telling a story in a different way, I should say.
Yeah, I would have to say that for me, it's been kind of a journey that a lot of times I get asked to go along with, and I go along with because I guess a lot of times it's because of my skill set. Like this animation that we worked on. When I went to school for visual effects, motion graphics, and animation, I never thought that in a million years that I'd be using it to, you know, like put out short films that had actual meaning and, like, you know, like woke people up and alive in their spirit. And that's pretty much what's happened, you know, I started out as a, you know, just a professional animator working in downtown Minneapolis making commercials, and then I started my own business and eventually started getting hired to do language revitalization projects.
Native language revitalization.
Wiegwas Press in Minneapolis, who their main purpose is to put out literature that's written in all Ojibwe Mo'en, which is the language of the Ojibwe people. And then they just started hiring me, you know, we need you to make these short films that teach it. Because, you know, that's the next thing. And, you know, I've done my research. You know, it's hard to find another Native animator, especially, you know, like one from my area. So I kind of feel like I've been blessed to be put in that seat. And it's really been important work. And it's nothing that I would have ever thought up. I'm not that complicated. You know, I just like to make pretty things. And sometimes people are like, hey, you're pretty good. Can we do this? And right. I'm like, sure. And they're like, and I'm going to pay you for it. And I'm like, that is even more awesome. Let's do it.
Well, complicated. Complexity is in there, brother. We know that. That's not is in there.
And don't let him fool you. He's been out at Standing Rock. He definitely has an eye for social justice, and that's, you know. But I appreciate it. Just the artistic lens too, though. That's right. Important to push back sometimes and question even that social justice lens. Like, is this the best way to do it? We need to have compelling art to go with that.
Right. That's how the message gets out. That's how people can grab and hold it, because it's in a form that people can consume.
Yes.
In other ways, you know, and I was about to use this word, but it might be the wrong word to use, but you'll see why in a moment. But, like, the work you're doing is, like, pioneering. Do I hate using that word?
You're a pioneer.
Yeah.
Like, we had to come up with another word.
Nice beard and overalls. And yeah, like, no, I can see you as a pioneer, Jonathan.
I might be the next one to go over to France, and maybe I could take it with some of them French women. And
hey,
that's opposite of the fur trade era.
Hey, go have some exports coming this way.
I could, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
This has been great. So we're linking to all this stuff. Of course, we're linking to Josh. You're Ross's place on the web. You don't want to miss that. We're going to link directly to the film so you can watch this animation that these brothers have put out, and Pataki, I'm going to send you to watchcard.com. We're also going to send you over to thunderfinearts.com on our website, so you can see the work of Jonathan Thunder. And I'm ably happy you could join our show live on the day we're taping this, Joshie Ross. Good to see you, brother, back in Baltimore.
It's always
again.
Good to see you.
And Jonathan Thunder, glad you were with him. Well, great to meet you, and your work is amazing.
Likewise.
I'm glad
Thank
we had
you.
A chance to do this taping before the day was out.
Yeah,
Thank
I appreciate
you,
it.
Thank you both. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer is Mark Gunnery. Our producer is Imani Spence. Our research producer is Calvin Perry. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. And send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. To podcast the Mark Steiner Show and share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.